Just a question as the ushers receive the offering. Who is the center of my story? And a lot of times we interpret stories as if they're all about us. And instead of trying to fit into God's story, we try to see how God can fit into our story. And I think this Christmas season we need something called a Copernican Revolution. Some of you know who Copernicus was, a scientist and astronomer who studied the stars. And up until the point of him, on a big scale anyway, everybody thought that the whole universe, including the sun and all the planets and everything that you could see, revolved around the Earth. Well, Copernicus one day realized through his research that the Earth actually revolved around the sun, and that the sun, at that time they said the sun was the center of the universe, but now we know it's the center of our solar system, and we're off somewhere, I think, on the right of our big galaxy, or left, depending on how you're looking at it, I guess, right? I'm not a scientist. You just figured that out, didn't you? Anyways, he said this, he knew that he would be rejected for this at the start. And he said, I ascribe certain motions to the earth. And they, his detractors, they will cry out at once that I and my theory should be rejected. So before you reject what we're talking about today, ask God this question. Just say, hey, God, whether, you know, if I don't know if you're real or anything like that, but just say, God, what do you want to say to me today? And open your heart and mind to that possibility. But in this big story that we're talking about, God is the point, not ourselves. If you thought of it in terms of a movie, this movie that we're part of, we're all minor characters. The major character is who matters. And if we're going to make sense of our stories in this bigger story, we have to understand God and the story that He is writing, and learn how our life fits in with that. So to help us understand this Christmas season, we have to do some hand gestures just to help us hold on to what we're talking about. So need everybody stand up. We're going to blame the kids. The kids need this, right? To hold on to information. They have to move around, something to do with education or something like that. If you need to groan, get it out of the way now. Okay, good. But we're going to just remember this story in terms of some hand gestures. And it starts with the big beginning. And so in the big beginning, there was God. So just God, right? You can even say the word God if you want, right? It's part of the big beginning. The other part of the big beginning was creation. Creation. All right. You're getting this. And finally, as part of creation, there was harmony. All right, so we got God, creation, harmony. But something went wrong with that. Adam and Eve believed a lie, and they became discontent. And so they disobeyed God. And so we enter into the part, it's called the big lie. That'll be next week. But for the big lie, put your hand over your eyes and just put one out to the side. And it's the word is disobedience. Everybody say disobedience. And because of that disobedience, there were consequences. So we're all sad, right? We're crying. We're touching our eyes. You won't forget this. And because of that disobedience and consequence, we have a need. So just put your hands up like you're surrendering, okay? We have a need. And so God said, you know what? I do not like this. This was not my plan from the beginning. I want to put something in place. I want to do a big rescue. And so God made a promise. So promise made. Say promise made, right? Hand over your heart. Promise made. God made a promise. He goes, I'm not going to let it stay this way. And he kept his promise through Jesus Christ. So Jesus was nailed on the cross and crucified for our sins. So touch your hands and put them up like this. Promise kept. So promise made. Promise kept. And because of that, there is a big win that's part of this. And all things will be made new. So there'll be a new creation. So draw the circle again. New creation. And ultimately, it's going to end with God, and we will forever be with God. If we surrender lives to Jesus and follow him, we have a forever place with God. So, right from the beginning. Oh, you knew it was coming, right? In the beginning, God. Creation. Harmony. Then there was a big lie. Disobedience. Consequences. And need. So God said, I need to do a big rescue. Promise kept, or promise made, sorry, first, right? And then promise kept. And that results in a big win, a new creation, and forever with God. So hold on to that this week. Kids, do it at home with your parents. Do it at home with your roommates, wherever. Oh, yeah, just sit. You want to sit down? Okay. I'm going to stay standing. But when it comes to stories, have you ever walked in to the middle of someone telling a story and you pick up really quickly that you don't belong there? Because you lack a foundation for what's going on. And so you're in this story. This happens to me quite frequently. I jump into the middle of a story and I don't know where it started or where it's going, but I give my 2 cents, right? Just in case. Sometimes you get a home run, sometimes you strike out. And with this series that we're looking at, this bigger story of Christmas, it starts in the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, and that's where we're going to be today, Genesis 1, if you want to turn there, or if you have YouVersion, it's a Bible app for your phones. Genesis 1, and it goes all the way through to Revelation, the end of the Bible. And just like any good story, it has an exposition, how things happened, the big beginning, and that's this week. And it goes into rising action, the big lie, and we'll be talking about that in week 2. And there's a climax. It's a big rescue. That's week 3, and finally there's a resolution, the big win. And that'll be week 4. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to go through the whole story in its entirety with everyone who comes. And the story of God in the Bible, it begins with this. It says, in the beginning, God, he existed, he always was, he always will be. In the beginning, God. And he said, let there be light. And he said it a bunch of different times with different parts of creation. Out of his mouth, he spoke, and it was. It was God who created. It is God who is our creator. And he put man in the earth, or on the earth, and he said, it is very good. God made man and woman and brought them together. And everyone that would come after them is an image bearer of God. And that continues today. And the man and the woman, they were given stewardship over the earth to care for it and to live from it. And this account that we're given, it's found in the book of Genesis. I'm just going to read the account of God creating man. It says in Genesis 1, verse 26 to 31, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And what we need to know from this today is that everyone in humanity, both man and woman, is God's image bearer. This is what's true for each of us. What does it mean to be created in God's image? It's something that's completely unique to humanity. No other species on the planet has this designation of being made in God's image. And it has the idea of being similar, but not identical. Just a few chapters later in Genesis 5, Adam has a son, and that son looked a lot like him. And it says, Adam had a son in his own likeness, his own image, and named him Seth. I have a son. Right? From a distance, people go, is that, why is Craig playing guitar up on the stage? Craig can't play guitar. And you people without your glasses back there, you're like, yeah, I see the resemblance. Get out of here, you can go. But he's similar, but not identical. And he celebrates that. But becoming human is recognizing that this story that I'm in starts with me being created in God's image. And from studies in the ancient Near East where Genesis would have been written, we can sort of discover what that term image would have meant to the original readers. So just picture this. You're a king. You're a very strong king or queen, whichever you prefer. And at this time in history, there's no real empires. There are city-states, and there's kings, basically, in each city. And every once in a while, one of the kings or queens of that city becomes powerful, takes over another city, maybe three, maybe four, and starts to exert rule and influence in those different places. And they get to be really powerful. And so you're a really powerful leader. And you know what? You say, I need to expand my territory even more. So you go, you say, I'm gonna attack up north. I'm going to take Fort St. John and Vanderhoof. Big prizes. Nothing from that. It's fine. But you have a problem. You take over. Everything's good. You've conquered the land. But now you can't stay there to make sure everybody obeys you. BC Tel, no lines are run yet. So what you do is you go, I'm going to make a huge statue of myself, an image. And the statue, it may look like you or it may represent a characteristic of you. Maybe it has your face on it, but it's a lion's body to show how powerful you are. And it resembles you. And to all of your new subjects, it's like a mirror of you in their presence. And then you gather all the people in that area together. You say, okay, folks, here's the deal. I've just put a whole bunch of my power in that statue. And if you disobey me, things are going to go bad for you. And because you're a little bit superstitious and they're a little superstitious, everybody believes it. Now you're free. You can leave because you've left your image in that territory. And that was a common practice in the ancient Near East. And it very much is the background of Genesis 1. The author of that book, Moses, he's not condoning, you know, this superstitious practice, but he's using a picture that they would have understood to show them their unique position in God's creation. It's not that God is absent, it's that God is present and we bear his image here. And the whole creation account, as recorded by Moses, could have been an apologetic or a defense of the beliefs that Israel held in challenge to the myths of the creation accounts in that day. So what does it mean to be created in God's image? And there's two rules, or two words we could use. One is rule, and one is likeness. We're created to rule. Some translations say, have dominion over the earth. Because when you think about it, there is no reason for us to have survived this long on this planet. We were created to rule. And the idea in this passage is given stewardship. God is ruler over everything. He holds everything in his hand. And he said to humanity, I want to give the stewardship, the rule of the earth. Take care of it. It's not an excuse to abuse it or exploit it. It's an excuse to steward and be my image bearers in my creation. And so with that, there would have been a lot of significance. Adam and Eve would have seen, yeah, this is where we fit in the story. Today, this is where we fit in the story. We're still stewards. That role hasn't changed. We all recognize with all of the news coverage and the way legislation is going that there's something happening to the environment, and it panics us. And so we react to it. And a lot of the problems is because we have been poor stewards of creation. But there's significance in that. And that's what God intended in the beginning. I have significance as a person because I'm created in God's image and he's given me this role on earth. Adam was entrusted with the stewardship of nature, Adam and Eve. They were to care for it. And that's our role too. And that's significant. Each one of us in this world, we each have creative abilities. We have gifts. God doesn't just create people without gifts or abilities or purpose. And the concept of some people being worthless, that completely denies the power of God. To be created in God's image is to have his mark on you, no matter who you are. And I think some of the talk about the right to die legislation in our society today, it's going to undermine that. As a culture, we will at some point say, there are certain people that do not contribute. They don't need to be here anymore. And what we're saying is God's image on that person is not unique, is not special. And that's a huge sin. So recognize that significance and how that fits into the story comes from the fact that I'm created in God's image. Everybody say it with me. I'm created in God's image. That's true for you whether you believe it or not, whether you have followed Jesus or not. You are created in God's image. That's true. Understanding what that means is a lifelong journey. And we got to ask the question, where is my significance found? If I'm created in God's likeness, there's significance there, but that word also implies there's some sort of relationship. And in this beginning chapter of Genesis, when God comes to creating man, he uses different language when he was talking about all the animals, the universe, water, plants, all that sort of stuff. He always said, let there be. But when he creates man, he says, let us make man in our image. And it's a picture of what's called the Trinity. It's God in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, holding a dialogue in perfect relationship and perfect harmony. He communicates with himself and then makes a creature that can be in relationship with him and with each other. Male and female, he created them. And that original intent was for humanity to be in relationship with God. Like it said in the video, everything was perfect. Everything was in harmony. And what that implies is that everybody, well, Adam and Eve lived in perfect security. They had no worries. They had no stresses. They didn't wonder what was going to happen tomorrow. Everything was perfect. And in that security, they realized, I am loved. And so there was this desire in this big story for humanity to have significance and security. And Adam and Eve, they were completely secure and in harmony with each other. That's why it says in Genesis, they were both naked and felt no shame. There was nothing that came between them. And all of us would acknowledge that at some point in our lives, with different relationships, brother, sister, friends, that harmony starts to be, you know, discordant and unpleasant. And we recognize something's broken. But that's not the way it was created to be. So a question for all of us is, where do I find security? Do I try to create it for myself like a security blanket? Sometimes when we fail in relationships, we try to create security financially. Or we try to create security by surrounding ourselves with friends that won't challenge us. Or we try to create security by keeping everyone at arm's length because we just don't want to be hurt again. And God's intent from the beginning was to provide security and significance. He goes, this is my story. This is how you fit in it. But it did go wrong. And we're going to look at that next week, but I'll just read a little bit. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and God said to them, you know what? You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And what happened there was Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan. Satan said, you're surely not going to die. In fact, you'll become like God. You'll know the difference between right and wrong. And what that started in Adam and Eve was a discontentment with that security and significance they had. They wanted more. And so they took that fruit, they ate it, and they disobeyed God. And that perfect story with perfect security and significance was destroyed. And perhaps you've been trying to create your own significance and security. Maybe you're floundering. Maybe you're trying to create a life apart from God and His influence. And when you look at the first Adam and what happened, that was a disaster. And all of us are Adam and Eve. We all try to live independent from God. We all choose our own way. But Christ is there wanting to reverse the effects of history by giving you the life that He planned from the start to give. You are God's image bearer. Will you enter into a relationship with God and discover what that means? It only happens through Jesus Christ. So a step for us to take this Christmas season is discover Jesus this Advent. Discover the big story. And there's a few resources that we're making available to everyone. One is from our MB Seminary, or one of our schools. Some of you know Pastor Mark. He's the president there now. They produce an Advent devotional every Christmas season. We printed some off. You can download it from our website. And it is a one-page thing. You can read it on an app. And there's also something called an Advent Daily Office, which a couple of times a day you just read a passage with a thought-provoking question and think about that. But those are just some tools to help us understand why Christ came. The other thing we can do is see ourselves as image bearers and see those we meet as image bearers. So say this again, I am God's image bearer. Right. Now look to the person next to you and say, you are God's image bearer. Those are true statements. Kind of awkward and weird, right? Do it more often. If you say to someone before you get into a fight with them, you are God's image bearer, you might treat them a bit different. Am I right? But through Jesus, that image of us that was broken because of sin can be restored. And to become human is to become like Christ. And there is no greater calling than to understand that I am God's image bearer on earth. And what was broken is now restored through Jesus if I choose to follow Him. And if you would like to respond to that, I just invite everybody to stand. We're going to close in a song. It's a simple beginning process, and it will change your life. But if you want to respond and go, yeah, I want to know what it means to be that image bearer. I want to follow this Jesus. And simple steps. Admit you need God. Confess you're a sinner and receive God's forgiveness. Trust Jesus to rescue you. And follow Jesus Christ in faith from today into eternity, where everything will be new. And we will be with God forever. So if you want to do that, invite us all just to bow our heads, close our eyes, pray this prayer for me. And if you want to pray that prayer, I invite you just one step, little step of courage. Just put your hand up and say, I want to pray that prayer. And now pray with me. I admit that I need you, God. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, I trust that you have rescued me. Now help me to follow you in faith from today and into eternity. In your name, amen. If you did pray that prayer, it's important not to keep it to yourself. Just like creation, we were not designed to be alone. The Christian life is not designed to be lived alone. It's designed to be lived together. So tell someone. Maybe you came with someone, or you can come talk to one of the people that'll be up here afterwards once the song is done. If you want prayer, come forward. We'll pray for you, just whatever's going on in your life. And also there's a prayer room straight out those doors where you can go and be in silence or ask someone to pray for you. Let's sing.